Do not be silent, God, or unresponsive.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
that
will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Coming to you this, well, it's a beautiful sunrise this April 6, 2019. We'll welcome everyone on board. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And, like I've said before, we'll save Tim for last. Good morning, Brother Tim.
Good morning.
And I know he doesn't mind coming on last because he understands the last shall be first. And we welcome you, the remnant, as well, to Coffee with the Wranglers, coming to you live this April 6th, Saturday morning. You may hear the broadcast at another time. We do record it and archive it and get it in the schedule a couple different times for some different broadcast hours and frequencies. But we welcome you for joining us. We'll have the phone lines open this morning. Lots going on from CEOs you wouldn't expect to be on board with the border crisis. Seem to be jumping on board to just all kind of things going on. But God is still on the throne and providing a beautiful day today. So, John, if you'd open us up in prayer, we'll get going right after that.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time that in your infinite wisdom that you set aside for your people to come together to encourage one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking the assembly, which is the habit of many, Lord. So we thank you for that time. Father, we ask that you would use this time to further your kingdom, Lord, to educate your people about the things that are going on in the world that affect us, the fulfillment of prophecy that we see right before our eyes. Father, we continue to praise you and thank you for the answer to prayers, Lord, that each and every day we see the headlines that the things that were done in the dark were brought to the light. And Father, I know that many of these things that are taking place would be pleasing to our pastor who battled against these wicked forces of evil for many years that are now being exposed. And Father, we know that your word says that you're not slow, as the world counts slowness, but you're patient, not wanting any of yours to perish, but all to come to repentance. And Father, we understand more than ever that repentance is one of the biggest keys. Most people miss it in Acts 2:38, but the very first thing that you said before they were baptized was, repent and let each of you be baptized. So, Father, I ask that you would give us a deeper understanding of repentance, that you would bring us to that place of godly sorrow, Lord, where we would fall upon our face and where we would cry out, Lord, as a nation, or at least as a remnant, or a remnant of a remnant, Lord. There are those that will not bow their knee to Baal and boldly proclaim no king but King Jesus. And Father, we just ask that this program this morning would be pleasing in your sight. Your word is clear that when two or more are gathered in your name, you're there also. And we say, come, Lord Jesus, and be our guest today. And bring your myriads and myriads of angels, Lord. Let this program today be pleasing to you, Father, as we do our best to expose those things in the world that affect your people. So guide and direct us. Give us wisdom and understanding. Father, prepare your people's minds and hearts to receive these things. Your word also says in Hebrews 1:14 that you've given us charge over myriads and myriads of angels. And Lord, we use that authority that you've given us in the name of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit to send those ministering angels out to those that can come to repentance, that they would cry out and ask for forgiveness. And Father, we send the guardian angels to protect those that are yours, and the warring angels to battle Leviathan in the high places, as Father, we see them pulling out all the stops of evil and wickedness, not hiding anything anymore, just openly defacing your name and your people. But we also know that no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper, and greater is he that is for us than he that is in the world. And Father, we claim those promises, and we claim the victory in the name above all other names, Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Amen. Well, folks, we do have the phone lines open this morning, 307-745-5913. If you'd like to call in with a question or a comment, we'll be glad to take your call. Spring is certainly in the air. Temperatures are warming up. You know, we've seen some of the signs of spring. I'm starting to see a little green grass around the corners of the buildings here at the Radio Ranch, and a little frosty this morning, about 31 degrees, a little white frost on everything. But spring is certainly in the air. People are burning their brush piles and getting ready because of the time, knowing that it's warming up, meadows getting drug, and just getting ready for spring and for summer. And Jason, John, didn't know if you guys saw a good bit of smoke down there. I know Colorado Forestry's burning a good bit down there in the Poudre Canyon. They're getting ready, doing some prescribed burns, trying to, I think, manage maybe the woods a little better, the forest a little better. But getting ready, knowing that things are still damp, so they can do some prescribed burns, which is part of managing the forests, and have seen a good bit of that around here. Of course, over the winter, they burn the big piles up in the mountains when they either do logging or thinning or that type thing. And but just as the word says, yeah, that we see some of the signs of the times in the physical, in the spiritual as well. Things happen, and our pastor was literally a prophet when it came to interpreting and describing the signs of the times and how they, when we saw them happening, you know, how they had been described in the Bible. And John, you had mentioned before the program, I think a big sign of the time that that was the thought that occurred to me anyway. I'll turn it over to you to take it from there.
Yeah, I mean, you can see that the prophecy is being fulfilled. We can look at it here in a minute, but Matthew 24, 5. But just yesterday, it was reported that Louis Farrakhan, the leader of Islam, boldly proclaimed that he was the true Jesus at what he calls a Savior's Day gathering. He said, quote, God does not love this world. God never sent Jesus to die for this world. Jesus died because he was 2,000 years too soon to bring about the end of the civilization of the Jews. He never was on no cross. There was no Calvary for that Jesus. And then it gets even more blasphemy than that here in his quote. I represent the Messiah. I represent the Jesus, and I am that Jesus. If I am not, take my life, and I say, from your lips to God's ears. So I think
amen.
We need to pray that God grants.
Absolutely.
But yeah, if somebody's—I don't have my Bible handy right now, but if somebody's got Tim, you probably got yours right there. Can you look up Matthew 24, verse 5?
Yep. 24, 5. Let's see. Give me just a second. Getting there. There we go. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many.
Sounds pretty familiar, don't it?
Yeah. It's pretty cut and dried, too. I was thinking that Wednesday night, there's a reason we don't name our children. We don't have any Anglo children that I know of. I mean, I just never see them named Jesus. You ever notice that? I mean, that's just not done.
Yeah, or Jesus.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's, yeah. We don't want any mistakes there. So,
I think it's important to read on past that, too. If you read verse going on, a couple more verses, it says, you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place. But that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of the birth pains. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many because lawlessness is increased. Most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come.
Yeah, read verse 4, too. That's the prelude.
Yeah, and Jesus answered to them and said to them, see to it that no one misleads you.
Amen.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Yeah.
Pretty significant.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, and it's so in your face. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
It's so in your face, and so much a part of what our Bible says. If they say to go here, if they say I am this one, don't go there. Don't. When you see those sort of things, we know that's not the case. I mean, true Christians, true biblical Christians, And we're warned so many times. I mean, the Bible doesn't waste words because it's an operator's handbook. It's pretty, and it reminds me quite often of, you know, when you look at the operator's manuals for equipment you buy and everything, the warnings are, they sprinkle those warnings throughout the whole thing. Don't get your hand in the blade. I mean, some of them are ridiculous, but the point is, you know, there's those warnings in that book to keep you on track and to be able to get the most out of that piece of equipment. And that's what the Bible's about. It helps us get the most out of our lives. That was kind of all I had. I was just thinking about.
Yeah, you read on in verse 21, "For then there will be a great tribulation, such as not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will. Unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short." Well, if you can't see that that's going on, I don't know what to tell you. You better pray for eyes to see and ears to hear. "Then if anyone says to you, behold, here is the Christ," or just like what you were saying, Tim, "or there he is, do not believe him, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders." We were talking about that with the Roman Catholic Church and the Vatican.
Yes.
"So as to mislead, if possible, even the elect." The elect, would, in my opinion, would be the followers of Jesus Christ, the remnant. "Behold, I have told you in advance. So if they say to you, behold, he is in the wilderness, do not go. Or behold, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe them. For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be."
Wow. Yeah, we have signs all around us of the tribulation, of that great tribulation coming. I mean, I think of South Africa, you look at Venezuela, you look at, you know, all these other things going on. I mean, we know that food and the rights of people to believe in God and to trust in God and to be secure in their possessions and their privacy, practically on every front that we consider dear, we're being attacked in some way or another by these antichrists.
Yep. Well, you know, it was the first time I ever heard the word birth, you know, the words birth pangs was from Pastor Peters from a message, series of messages that he did. And it's interesting, like even in my Wednesday morning prayer breakfast and stuff, these men have never heard those terms. They never, and when you start to show them these things and that time's been short and all that, it really opens up their eyes to the prophecy that's being fulfilled around us. You know, if you can't see that the disasters in this country, not to mention the world, continue to get greater and greater as far as the amount of damage and the amount of destruction, and they're closer and closer together, you know, just like the Bible said they would be. And I think it's, you know, the things that we take for granted because we have the advantage of hearing the truth every Sunday, and we still, you know, do our best to disseminate the truth of the gospel, but I think sometimes we take for granted that the average Judeo-Christian doesn't understand any of the things that we were taught.
Yeah, it's that meat that they just cannot, can't quite keep down, that they, many will hear it. And that's what we continue to do, is to put that truth out. But the remnant do hear it. It does resonate with the remnant. It makes sense to them. And as Pastor used to call those that were drawn to the truth junkies. It didn't matter. Didn't matter how they got it, where they got it. Just give them the truth. That's what they wanted. And that's what we continue to do. You know, 2 Timothy 4 talks about preaching the word. You know, preach the word. Be ready in season and out. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. And I think it is a time for that. It is a time for the unconverted, for the unbelieving, for those that are His people but are still living in the world and don't have their eyes open, to be reproved, to be rebuked. Like you're saying, John, to explain, as it says, with great patience and instruction. People like on our Wednesday morning prayer groups in different towns and different cities, and explain to them, see what the Bible says about these birth pangs? See what the Bible says about, you know, the sin exalteth a nation? Or sin is the shame of a nation? Righteousness exalts a nation? That we are, and I think that goes hand in hand with the realizing who we are in God's plan, that the great responsibility that comes along with that, not only in the Great Commission, but in showing people who have answered the call of the Great Commission as much as it's been answered. It has not been the other peoples of the earth. It has not been the those over there in the sandbox, the Israeli, but it has been the Anglo people, the Scandinavian, the Germanic, the Celtic and kindred people that have answered that call. And that is one of the reasons that we have a third party stirring up all the racial strife and making it so that if you even mention something like this about that evil, wicked white person, that it's a hate crime, because Satan is pulling out all his stops against the sons of God, against the those of us that do understand the truth. But people are starting, even Judeo-Christians are starting to see it.
There's a group that has the laws of God written on their heart that the Bible tells us about, that are hungering and thirsting for the truth. Like I had an opportunity this last Wednesday. We're still going through the book of Enoch, but I had an opportunity to bring a Reader's Digest version of the message, the Passover message on repentance. And, you know, people forget that the Bible's clear. Repent or perish,
yes.
Period. And most people don't understand that perish doesn't mean just die. You know, the Bible also says that do not fear the one that can kill the body, but fear the one that once he's killed the body can cast you into hell. And when you, that perish means to be cut off from God forever, for eternity. Now that's a pretty sobering thought when you think about it. And the fact that he said, repent or perish. There's nothing in between. There's no explanation. There's no additional content. There's no, see this, turn here, do that. It's repent or perish, period. And that's why, for some reason, the Lord convicted me here before this last Passover that this is the message that your people need to understand, that there is nothing else but repenting or you're going to perish. So in repentance, there's a whole lot of depth to that as well. The more I study into it.
Amen.
Well, we know that God loves justice more than a sacrifice, and we're to be like God and to look at that. And justice is a lot more than retribution or vengeance. Justice is a broad spectrum way of life. I mean, when justice is done, the people are free. You're secure in all of your things because of justice and judgment. And if we want to live in the kingdom way, we need to follow God's rules. Proverbs 21 talks about it. Proverbs, and it's one of those, when we do that, everything is right. And if you are in God's way and doing things God's way, you're not afraid of justice. You know, it's like, well, bring it on. I mean, I have an advocate in Christ. I am justified. And that's not a license, as Paul said, to do evil, but it's a surety. It's a surety bond. It's a bond of Christ's blood over us that says if we made a mistake, and that's a mistake, not an injustice, but a mistake, we have recourse, you know, to renew ourselves into that way. And that's where a lot of, I mean, these wicked ones, I like Proverbs 21, verse 4 says, a high look and a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. And, I mean, you can see that in those evildoers that are out there. They never look down. Their nose is in the air. They have a pride, and they just go out and farm the wicked for everything they can get. You know, I mean, and it's sin. God's, and they're doing it. They know. They're doing it with intent. So their day of justice and judgment is coming. And so, we see these people. So.
Yeah, you can see the push for disarming the American people is escalating, too. I guess there's 13 states now that have passed some form of these new red flag bills that basically, I mean, some are worse than others. Some are if law enforcement suspects that you may be a danger, either mentally or physically or whatever, then they have the right to come and seize your firearms or anyone's firearms that you have access to. But here in the state of Colorado, it's much worse than that. It's basically anyone can say that basically I believe this person is a threat, and if they can get a judge to sign a warrant, and we all know that the judges have been overtaken by the enemy, but that they can come in and seize your firearms. But the good news is that the majority of the sheriffs out here in Colorado, in the West at least, are basically saying that, no, we're not going to follow an unconstitutional order. And, of course, they're threatening to jail them and for not following a court order. And there's several sheriffs that are saying, well, if I have to go to jail to enforce the oath that I took, or to fulfill the oath that I took, to follow the Constitution, then so be it. So I don't think it's going to work out kind of the way that they want it to, but that doesn't mean that we're not to be wise as serpents and to be ready for anything. Be ready for anything. Diversify locations and things like that.
Amen. Amen. Well, those signs of the times, they are upon us. And if we, I think about the several times throughout the scriptures that it talked about that we can see the trees starting to bud out. We know spring is here. We had the calendar, which they did not have a printed written calendar like we have now. We know the months. We know that spring is upon us. The grass is greening up. The trees are going to start blossoming and that is that way in the physical, but you're right, in the spiritual we need to see these signs of the times as well. Saw a headline just this morning before coming out to the broadcast booth. Swedish hospital removes 14-year-old girl's breasts because she has gender dysphoria. And so I didn't get to look into the article to see if the parents were in agreement. I think that this shows several things. One, that we are in a time that women and children rule over us. That if the child says such and such, well, then that's the way it goes. There's no more spanking. There's no more paddling. There's no more or very little correction to the children. And the women as well. And I don't mean it just here in the States. This is, you know, in Sweden. The Bible says, suffer not the little children. So is it any wonder that Europe has been overrun with these ungodly antichrist Muslims that have come in as the locusts of Joel and have just overrun, raped their women, taken their food, their supplies, their houses, their all that there is. It is an absolute invasion. Why? Because of this type of filth. Because of sin. And it is a sign of the time for us as well. It's a sign that shows that God is not mocked. His word is true. If a nation sins, a nation will pay the price, just as it is for a person. And the European nations, you see headlines like this on over and over and over. There is no, as you said, Tim, there is no justice. Where is the justice for this young 14-year-old girl that the demons have come in and had an open door and are ruling and reigning? Where's the justice for her? And with this happening, there is none. There is none.
Well, and what were you saying? How old was she?
14.
14, yeah, because most, you know, 10 to 14-year-old children, I've read some stories about some 10-year-olds and the like in the school system being, re-identified gender-wise and different things like that, because at least in my experience, 10-year-olds and 12-year-olds and probably even 14-year-olds, they really worry about stuff like that. They're so in-depth on that it's like, it's the parents, it's the school. You know, there's outside influences there.
Absolutely.
That have gotten focused on that. We've seen it. I mean, there's proof in the teaching. I mean, when they brought sex education into the schools and everything else, we've seen a tremendous pickup in regards to teen pregnancies. We've seen a tremendous, you know, if you put, you know, what goes in the eyes, what goes in the mouth, what you feed those children is what you get back. And there's nothing wrong with, the Bible says, when I was a child, I thought as a child. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a godly progressive way it is. When you're a child, you're a child. When you become an adult, you become an adult. But it's okay to be a child. It's okay to think like a child. But we have these children here thinking like, we don't see 12-year-olds out there talking about gender assignment in large crowds. We have a bunch of perverts out there.
Yes.
Who want to do that and talk about it. And they want, and then they have children and they bring this onto their children to the point that, you know, they jump into this, and it's just sad. It's what it is. It's sad and ungodly.
It is. And it is another sign because the things that are going on here that we mentioned earlier, the atrocities in the public school system, the cross-dressing sexual perverts that come in and read to the kindergartners, that is brainwashing, sure and simple. To get exposed, to get this sin, this filth, exposed to the children as normal. And that was going on 30 years ago in the European nations. And we see the result. We see the result. And as the Bible has said, this sister America seems to be on the same path, just at a faster scale. Let's try the phone lines this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, good morning, Richard. It's Anthony out in Jersey. How you doing, sir?
Good morning, everybody. Anthony. Good morning.
Good morning. You know, we're talking about Sweden over there and how they're, raping and pillaging their women and children and influencing their children. Yeah, and over here, man, it's the same thing. I mean, you look, last couple, just in the last week, I think it was, where it was a girl from New Jersey down in South Carolina going to college, and she hopped into a Uber by mistake, driven by some African male. He killed her. Young college girl, white girl, nice looking girl. probably felt, oh, I don't want to be a racist. He probably hustled her into the car saying, oh, my phone doesn't work, because those Ubers are real particular with the tracking and when the car gets there and everything. So she was drinking and, you know, killed her. Most likely didn't say he raped her, but that kind of goes along with the story in that case. And then we have a girl out here in Staten Island just the other day. Found a body behind it in a dumping area, burned, her ex-husband, black male, and she was a white woman, you know, killed her. Yeah. Try to find a white guy killing a black woman story, and, you know, you're probably going to be searching for quite some time. But last statistics I looked at was about 30,000 white women are being raped by blacks every year. Now, that's reported. It's around that area. You know how many white men are raping black women? It's not even on the chart. It doesn't even come up as a fraction of a percent. You know, we're being it, but yet the media, the enemy, the Antichrist enemy media, is glorifying race mixing all day long. You know, putting up their little puppets, and they have their, every time you look at the television screen, it pops up. So our women are being brainwashed into it, conditioned and programmed to continue to see the same thing over and over again, which to make them think that it's normal. Of course, they have actors playing the black character, looking all, you know, sophisticated and normal and humanized and whatnot. But yet the reality of it is these women are meeting some pretty gruesome endings for their diversity or cultural enrichment, you know, philosophy, which is not a philosophy. So what does Peter say? What do you guys say? Women and children are the spoils of war. Well, there's a problem out here, and nobody really seems to get there. Well, not nobody, not everybody doesn't seem to get the whole picture, because they're being, the mainstream media is funneling what they want you to think. Because the enemy doesn't want you to know you have enemy. But yet, you know, the poor black, the oppressed Africans are always, you know, they're the ones that are, evil whitey is out there to get them, and somebody wore blackface, you know, 20 years ago in high school, and that's really what the problem is. Not that these Africans are raping and killing our women, and that's what's happening.
Well, that's not even taking into account the illegal aliens that are raping and killing our women, too.
I mean, there was
something I read the other day about an illegal alien that got caught, you know, crossed the border 7 times and exported or whatever, but they were saying that there's like 100 sexual assault charges against this one, and, you know, the fact that he's not being executed is the reason why we have these kind of issues. But it's all designed by the enemy, too. That's what we have to remember. I think the most important thing we have to remember is there's nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ that can protect us against, you know, the plots of the wicked ones. So if there was ever a time to make sure that you actually take that time to pray the protection over you and your loved ones, and
Amen.
The things that our pastor taught us, putting on the full armor of God, and even that morning and evening prayer that we sent out in the newsletter several months ago, I think those prayers are more critical than ever before. And in today's life, you know, where time has sped up, there's no doubt about it, we need to be redeeming time for the times that are worth redeeming, the times that we have with our family, the times that we have with our God, and not forsake. You have to set aside the time to pray and for that protection. I know I was talking to a brother Howard there in Alaska, his wife, and she was going to send me the list, and I was going to make that available to all the men that are members of the body. But bottom line was, he would never get in that truck and take a run from Fairbanks to Prudhoe Bay before he said his prayers, and his prayers could take an hour, because he would pray all the things that Pastor Peters had said that we should be praying over the year. He wouldn't just talk about it, he would do it.
And then before he would leave, after his 10 hours of rest before he could drive back, before he would drive back from Fairbanks to, I mean, from Prudhoe Bay to Fairbanks, he would do the same thing. He would go through those prayers, every one of them, and then whatever else the Lord put upon his heart. But those are the times that we're in, you know what? And if we don't come to that place where we're willing to fight the good fight and battle Leviathan in the spiritual realm, then I fear this land will be lost.
Amen. Amen, John. You know, when Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. My Heavenly Father will be ashamed of you. That's not just in standing there and a person standing in a crowd and denying Jesus. It's in the time, the effort, what you choose. We have free will. What we choose to do. And that's a great example for all of us. You know, how Howard was and the prayers that he offered up. And you could certainly see it. And folks, does that mean that Howard had a perfect life and kind of floated around as an angel? No. No, he had trials and tribulations and things to overcome and thoughts to overcome and battles to fight. But he fought them the right way. He started his days with prayer. And
here's the thing, too. We lost a mighty prayer warrior. That's the bottom line. And guess what? It's up to us to be the ones to stand in the gap and to fill that void. And how about we increase it? You know, how about we,
amen,
we increase it tenfold, or hundredfold, or a thousandfold? Because I'll tell you what, if we could, we would make a difference. If,
amen,
we had men that were as devoted, and I know there's some out there, and I'm grateful for them, and I know they know who they are, and nobody does it for the notoriety or for the recognition, and he'd be upset if he knew that I was doing it. But bottom line is, I myself need to learn from the example that he set. I'll be the first to admit that I do not spend as much time as I need to in prayer, and I'm praying that with the help of the Holy Spirit, with the leading of the Holy Spirit, and with this list of all of the things that he prayed, I will be at least one that will stand in the gap and make up the difference from one mighty prayer warrior that the Lord called home.
Amen. And you know, Remnant, if you would like that morning prayer and evening prayer, as John said, it was we put it in a newsletter earlier in the year, actually last year, I think, but we have it here. We'd be glad to send it to you. I've got it on my phone, and we've sent it back and forth, and but if you would like that, we've got it printed out, and if we send all we have out, we'll print more. But it's a morning and evening prayer. It is. We've continued to encourage you to start your day that way. Get up 15 minutes early. Get up a half hour early, as a start, if that's what you need to do. And pray that Lord's Prayer. Pray and put on that full armor of God. Pray for protection. Commission the Holy Spirit. Have the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to come upon and fill every void and come in and protect and bless your family and your friends and your church family and your neighbors. You know, we're told to love our neighbors ourselves. How many people do we pray for our neighbors? And it means our physical neighbors, but also our neighbors and the remnant across the nation and across the world. And so there's plenty to pray for. There is. Well, Anthony, thanks so much for the call. Sure appreciate it. I had opened up to Romans, and boy, when you're reading, you know, Romans 1:22, professing to be wise, they became fools. And that was what came to mind with the description of what you've talked about, like the media and these enemies of ours that they are doing their job. They're fools, but they are doing their job and influencing and our people, and it just makes our job all the more important to pray for the remnant, to pray for parents, to pray for our children and the children of the remnant to not be taken in, to repent. And that's where it starts. You know, the parents of this Swedish girl, and she's just one of many, both there in Sweden, in Europe, and here in the States, that are second, third generation raised without God in the home, without God in the schools, And if they do go to a church, more than likely there's some, you know, female sinner that calls herself a pastoress or something, most high reverend sister, you know, Louisa or something. And so there's probably no God in any church they go to either. And his word is true. Hosea 4:6, you forget my law. You forget my law, and by God, I'll forget your children. And if he hasn't done that, he has. That is where we are in this land. That is where our sister is across the ocean. She has forgot him, and he has forgotten her children. And that is, we are two steps away from that. Same thing right here. And that is why that message you brought, John, for Passover was so important. That is what the people need to hear. You have been sinning, people. God's wrath is upon you. We don't sing God Bless America anymore. Who needs it? Who needs it is the attitude of the people today. This Romans 1 about professing to be wise, they became fools. That applies to more and more that have forgotten God.
Right, and the enemy is serving their God. So their God is telling them to destroy all that's good, destroy God's moral order and moral standard and moral code, and to recognize what sin is and transgression of the law, and to live a Christian moral lifestyle and uphold it and teach our children the same thing, while the enemy is destroying it. There was a term, acronym OMAC, and it was not in order of importance, of course, but anti-white, anti-male, anti-American, anti-Christian. So these enemies are anti, as with this feminist movement, is basically an attack on patriarchy, of course. God is male. God is a he. Okay, Jesus was a he. A man was made prior to Eve. But they want to destroy all of God. So professing themselves wise to have their own culture or have their new world order or their antichrist, the kingdom on earth here. You know, our kingdom on earth is to, you know, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, we're not supposed to sit around and not talk about things and be passive. You know, like Peter said and like you guys talk about all the time, it starts at the churches. It's the churches that have failed to bring the truth and the message. Instead, they bring the prosperity gospel or the feel-good gospel or the Jesus loves you gospel, and we're all one, and they'll have the flag of Israel up on the podium, and they'll have all kinds of other cultures coming in to preach in their churches. I mean, it's Babylon all day long, but loving your neighbor and loving your kinfolk, that's the same. You know, our people make up a nation, you know? We're the posterity that they talk about in the Constitution, not these other cultures and these other people that serve other gods that are coming in and just rob, stealing, and destroying our nation. You know, do we want to preserve this nation, or we want to just let it go after all we've been through? Would that be a godly, God's will for us to go, oh, no, let's just lay back and let them take it? You know, because that seems to be the mindset of those who really aren't in the know, where it's like, oh, it's okay. We'll just be nice and get along, and we'll just won't make any waves or talk about anything. We'll be politically incorrect. But we got to keep praying, definitely, and just keep getting the message out and do everything we can to, you know, to counteract the Babylonian propaganda that they have out there.
Amen. So, amen.
All right.
Yeah. Anthony, well, thanks for your call.
Hope you have a blessed day.
Thank you.
That's why God said that judgment would begin in the house of the Lord. So,
amen. Amen.
Yeah, it's interesting. There was a this cardinal, Vatican Cardinal Robert Serra, came out with a pretty controversial book here recently, and it was the title of the book is called "Evening Draws Near and Day Is Nearly Over," and it's talking about the controversy over in Europe, and it identifies this Muslim migration as a harbinger for the continent's collapse. And it's a couple of interesting quotes out of there, and talk about, you know, just a lot of truth. I mean, here's a it's kind of interesting because this is coming from a black cardinal from the Vatican. But if it says if the West continues in this fatal way, there's a great risk that due to the lack of birth, it will disappear, invaded by foreigners, just as Rome has been invaded by barbarians. And Sarah, adding, my country is predominantly Muslim. I think I know what reality I'm talking about. The cardinal also blamed the European Union for its desire to globalize the world, ridding it of nations with their distinct characteristics, labeling the move sheer madness. And, I mean, you talk about a lot of truth in those couple of statements, but that's what's been happening over there. And a lot of this is what had happened over there. Was that that European Union? You know, it. I remember, you know, talking with Dad about it, and that's what made Europe so unique. Is there was so many different cultures in a small area. You know, a small geological area. They had, you know, you had different sects and different people and different groups of people, and you know, everybody was different. There's a, you know, you talk about the United, a lot of people, unless they've actually been over there, they have no idea how small parts of Europe are. You know, a lot of places you can drive across country after country after country, and it's not even like driving across the United States. But they all had their distinct characteristics and were different, and that European Union is one of the things that has come in and destroyed that and diversified the people so much and mixed it up. But it was, you talk about even a racially pure geological area for the masses at one time. I mean, 10 years ago, there were some of those towns and those cities were some of the most racially pure areas in the world. Talk about the Scandinavian kindred Celtic people, you know, being racially pure. That's where it was at. And it was obvious that it's been targeted, that they've tried to wipe that out and try to destroy the people. And, you know, these Muslims have been, you know, they've been a weapon of warfare. You know, John's done an excellent job, and there's so much information out there that shows where these Muslims and where that Muslim religion came from. And it was designed to be a weapon of warfare. You know, it wasn't something that it's been around near as long as a lot of people think it was. And it is, you know, it's been effective. I mean, it's gotten out of control in a lot of ways. But you know, weapon of warfare. And you look at what has happened, and even those people that have got into their positions of power. You know, as far as this European Union, and have graduated to those positions of authority over so many of those countries over there, they're destroyers. There was talk about an invasion. You know, Dad could see it a long time ago, and he prophesied about it. And it was, you know, it was talking about an alien invasion that they came in, they worked their way to the top. They opened up the borders. They destroyed the people, and I mean, if you don't have the eyes to see, it's pretty. It sounds like a science fiction movie. When you have the eyes to see, you know, it's kind of nerve wracking. You know, I mean, if you don't have the faith in the Lord, then there's not a whole lot you can do. But it's you know, it's happened. I mean, and it's happened right before our eyes. I mean, we've seen it. You know, people talk about it, you know, happening. Oh, it's been going on for a long time. It's changed dramatically in the last 5 years. In the last 10 years, I was over there in a lot of those European countries 15 years ago and seen a lot of places, and it wasn't like that 15 years ago. It wasn't like that 10 years ago. 10 years ago, they were talking about it and how it was starting to get influx on, you know, these Muslims moving into certain areas. But, I mean, you talk about how it has just gained momentum in the last 5 years. It's been absolutely crazy. They did it, you know, I mean, it's the same thing that they've done up in, you know, states like Minnesota. You know, I remember talking with Dad about that, and he said that the reason that, you know, states like Minnesota were targeted is because they were such racially pure states. I mean, you go up there, you know, we used to go to these farm farming communities and have go to the parades and have a lot of family up in that area. And you talk about the most racially pure people that you would go across. I mean, blonde hair and blue eyes was, you know, all that you would see in a lot of those towns. And, you know, it was targeted because of that.
Amen.
What are you talking about, eh? Yeah, mostly Europeans and Canadians.
Yeah.
But I think another encouraging thing, like what you were saying, is some of the bishops and cardinals and things within the Catholic Church are even seeing that the Pope is, you know, basically fulfilling the role of the Antichrist. Now he's saying, you know, or he has for quite some time, that Islam, Allah, and our God are the same God. And, you know, it's waking up a lot of people. I read an article the other day that there was 4.1 million people walking away from the Catholic Church a year. So, and it'd take a while to get rid of the 1.2 billion, but or get them woken up. But
take
still,
whatever we can get.
Praise
that's
the Lord.
Encouraging, you know. And like I said before, too, I've received emails and letters from people who have thanked me for exposing the things in the Catholic Church that they're not mainstream media kind of things, but you can find them if you research and look at them. And there's no doubt that, you know, it's they're raising up the Catholic Church. And the fact now, I think that's something I want to touch on too, but that the Mormon Church now, the leader of the Mormon Church just met with the Pope for the first time ever. Now that's significant as well, because you group together the Mormons and the Roman Catholics, and then, you know, you've probably doubled what you had as far as an Antichrist church.
And it truly is Antichrist. The Mormons have okayed same-sex marriages, gays, queers, every other type of sin that you can imagine, an abomination before God. Now it's okay to the Mormon Church. And so it is the times that we are in. Well, guys, we're out of time this morning. I want to thank all the remnant for joining us. And, guys, thanks for tuning in. And I want to finish out with one verse, 1 Corinthians 16. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Folks, you can join us at church tomorrow. We invite you to join us at church. 8:30 Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern at scripturesforamerica.org Sunday morning, and you won't be disappointed if you do. And as John prayed at the beginning, don't forsake the assembly. That is a commandment that we have. Don't forsake the assembly. Just like we pray for that, give us this day our daily bread, that is part of that daily bread, and you need a little bit every day. Guys, we'll see you at church in the morning.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them hells and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, stick high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end.